still talking about good news at Christmas. And one piece of good news that we see repeated in the Christmas story are the words that the angel brings to multiple people. And those words are, don't be afraid. And if in 2020, if I were going to be visited by an angel and I could pick the message I would most like for them to show up in my house and proclaim really loud, and I think that those words would be, don't be afraid, right? That just feels like it would be fitting, it would be apt for the year. And you know, because you've also lived in the year 2020, that lots has been said about fear. And the truth is that a lot of you listening today have struggled with newfound fears and anxieties. It seems that my highly anxious friends have rejoiced that the rest of us have experienced their pain this year, right? I've had a lot of people say, oh, welcome to our world. But every sniffle or slight irritation in the back of the throat this year has led us to fear, is this the dreaded COVID? And we've all just been a little bit more worried about things than we normally have. There have been silly fears and like, is this mask appropriate for my outfit today? There have been serious fears about finances and job loss. There have been serious fears about our kids and about mental health. There have been serious fears about losing loved ones and not being able to be present in order to say goodbye or to be able to spend time with each other. So there have been fears that have just sort of run the gamut of serious and just kind of silly or frivolous things as well. It has been a difficult season for many. And yet many of us have faced fears and dealt with things this year that have absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic. It's just been yet another year where fears have abounded. But the truth is, the world has always been a fearful place. And fear isn't new, even if what we fear is unprecedented. And fear is something that people, including people of faith, have always experienced. And it's one reason why the Christmas story has produced hope in us for all the ages. And so this morning we're going to look at four characters from the Christmas story. And those four are Zechariah, who is described as upright in the sight of God, and his full story is found in Luke chapter 1. We'll look at Mary, who was highly favored and chosen by God. Her story is also found in Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at Joseph, who was described as a righteous man. His story is found in Matthew chapter 1. And then we'll close by looking at the shepherds who were chosen by God, and their story is found in Luke chapter 2. And I just want to make note that all of these were men and a woman of faith, and yet Zechariah was gripped with fear, and Mary was greatly troubled and afraid, and Joseph was anxious and fearful, and the shepherds were terrified in the moments when the angels appeared. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel like I'm in good company and I feel better already before we've even read their stories, knowing that godly men and women of long ago also knew what it was to be afraid in times when everything in their world was about to change. It doesn't make me less of a Christian or a bad person to feel fear, because our Christmas characters certainly did. You see, the angels came and announced to each of them, don't be afraid. But, right? Don't you just love that? There's always a reason why the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I'm about to tell you something that's a little bit scary, a little bit challenging, a little bit uncertain, a little bit devastating maybe to some people. Don't be afraid, but here's what I'm about to say. The angels came and said, don't be afraid, but everything you know is about to be turned upside down. Don't be afraid, but what I'm about to say next is going to change the way you'll look at everything, the way you understand the world and your place in it, and the trajectory of your life will be permanently altered. Don't be afraid, the angels were saying, but listen closely to what I'm about to speak into your life. I think for some of us, this sounds just a little bit familiar about 2020. The angels come to us and say, don't be afraid, but it's going to be a different year. There's going to be some change. There's going to be some uncertainty, but listen closely. And so as we read their stories and we hear the messages they were given, I think if we listen, we will hear a word spoken directly to our hearts that will address our fears in present day. So first we want to look at Zechariah and hear, and what we hear from him is, don't be afraid because your prayers are being heard. So at the end of the Old Testament, we read the words of the prophet Malachi. This is how the Old Testament ends. "See, I will send you a prophet, Elijah, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." And with that final word of both hope and fear, God's people began 400 years of silence from God and his prophets. Destruction and judgment were coming, is what we're told in that passage. But first God said he would send a prophet, another chance for them to turn and to seek forgiveness, that a Messiah would come to save them. And so for 400 years, the people waited and prayed and hoped, and they waited and prayed and hoped some more, and they waited a little longer for a Savior to come. Nations conquered nations, and the people of Israel were ruled by one empire after another, but no one could rescue them. No one could save them politically. Sacrifices were offered year after year, but sins were still committed, and no one could save them spiritually either. And 400 years after Malachi had said those words, there was a couple by the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth, both descendants from a long line of priests who were living quiet and faithful lives before the Lord. They had prayed for a child for years, but it had not happened. But still they trusted in the goodness of God and they served him. And where we pick up Zechariah's story in Luke chapter 1, we're told that his division within the priesthood was at the temple, and he was chosen to be the one that year who would enter to offer incense. It was a once-in-a-lifetime appointment to be chosen to offer the incense, and it was a high honor. Now, in Exodus chapter 29, God said that in these daily offerings, he would meet and speak to his people. So it shouldn't be a surprise that an angel appeared and spoke to Zechariah in this moment. We're kind of given this foreshadowing that may just be what would happen. God had promised to do so. But in fairness, most of us are equally surprised every time God does what he said he would do in our lives as well. Because we pray for a miracle, and then when God heals, we are shocked. Can you believe? I think it was a miracle. I mean, that had to have been a miracle, right? I mean, it feels like a miracle. I remember actually having witnessed a miracle, knowing it was a miracle, turning to you and saying, "You think that was a miracle too, right? Like I'm not just making up miracles in my head, right?" Because sometimes we are just shocked when God actually does what he said that he would do, that he is the miracle worker. We pray for an answer, and when it comes, we are flabbergasted that God has made a way for us. We pray for provision, and then it arrives, and we tell our friend, "You are not going to believe what God did for me today," you know? So we can give Zechariah a little bit of slack here for being just a little bit caught off guard that God actually appeared in the Holy of Holies here. So Zechariah is standing at the altar. The angel appears and announces, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you're going to call him John, and he's going to be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he is going to bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He'll go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah," just like Malachi had said, "to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." He was going to make them ready for that great and dreadful day of the Lord. So the Lord had heard their decades-long prayers for a son, and the Lord had heard the prayers of his people for 400 years before that, asking for the promised one to come. And in that one moment, God assures Zechariah on behalf of all the people that he has, in fact, heard their prayers. And in one baby, John the Baptist, he will answer them all. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because God has not forgotten, and God has not been turning a deaf ear to the cries of his people for all of these years, and he has not turned a deaf ear to your own private prayers either. It may have taken longer than anyone expected or longer than anyone would have liked, but God knows, and he hears, and he has been at work. It's what we just sang this morning. Even when we can't see it, he's working. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because the answer to your prayers is coming at just the right time. And if we listen, we hear that word today as well. Don't be afraid, for God hears your prayers. God has not been taken by surprise by the events of 2020 in our world or in your home. And he has heard your prayers for yourself and your family. And it may feel as if the heavens are silent. It may feel like God is not moving. It may feel like you are just waiting and you're beginning to wonder, will God really do what he said that he would do? Someone texted me last night actually and said, I believe in Jesus and I believe what he said, but I just need to know, are you sure that what I'm waiting on from the Lord will really happen? Is it really ever going to happen? And I think Zechariah and Elizabeth and the people of God would have felt that same way. They understood that question. But is it really going to happen? And the words of the angels to Zechariah assures us this morning that yes, in fact, it will really happen because God has heard our prayers. Don't be afraid, for we serve a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but who watches over you day and night. Don't be afraid that your prayers are not getting through, for this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So rest assured this morning, God has heard you, and he will answer you at just the right time. And in a moment, when Zechariah was gripped with fear, the angel comes and begins to speak to him of a long-awaited revival of repentance that was going to spring forth. It was in a moment of fear and in a moment of confusion, as Zechariah hears that his prayers have been answered, that they also realize the prayers of the people of God for revival are about to be answered as well. And he begins to get a fresh revelation of what it is that God desires to do in and among his people, because the son that they had been praying for was going to be the one to fulfill the promises of God to call his people back to himself. And when John was born, Zechariah declared, "My child will be a prophet of the Most High, for he will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him and to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Revival was coming, and God spoke that word to Zechariah in a moment when he was gripped with fear, but reminded that his prayers had been heard. Well, next we see Mary, and what we hear from her is, don't be afraid because the Holy Spirit will be with you. You see, long years before Mary had even been born, the prophet Isaiah had said a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son that would be known as God with us. But again, nobody ever thinks they're going to be the answer to someone else's prayer, right? So there's nothing in Mary that would have thought, I'll probably be that one. That's probably going to be me. But that's not what's happening. And Mary especially probably would have never have dreamt of such an honor, since she was just this ordinary girl living in a tiny town where nothing of importance ever seemed to happen. Imagine, actually, Luke, in recounting the story, had to tell the readers of his own day where Nazareth was. He wrote that Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, almost in a, don't worry about it, just trust me, it's there. That's where it's at. It's Nazareth, it's a town in Galilee. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Because literally no one knew where it was except God. And that was all that mattered, that God knew exactly where to find the one on whom he was bestowing favor. He knew exactly where to find the one that he had chosen for such a time as this. He knew exactly where to find the one that he needed for this moment. And Gabriel arrives where she lives and makes quite the announcement. Mary is greatly troubled because she knows as soon as she sees the angel, nothing good's going to come from this, right? This is going to be life-altering. And the angel comes, and sure enough, he gives what we hear and what we read all these years later as good news. But Mary hears in that moment as earth-shattering. She will be with child, and not just any child, but one who's going to be a king. And this raises a lot of questions, because if you think about it, fear typically expresses itself in questions. But what about, and how will this, and what are we going to do, and what's going to happen, and how is this all going to make sense? And Mary sees the biggest obstacle, and she asks about it first. How? And she explains, since I am a virgin. And the angel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing is impossible with God. Don't be afraid, Mary, because it's not all up to you to figure out or to make happen. Don't be afraid because you won't be alone. For the Holy Spirit will be on you and with you and will empower you and make the impossible become possible. And I think that if we listen, we hear a similar message that comes to us in the remote places where we live and work and have been confined to. And just as God knew where to find the one he had chosen and favored, he knows where to find you. And it just struck me this week as I was preparing this, that in a year where it can feel like nothing is right and we're getting passed over for so many things, like, does God even know where I am anymore? Because it seems like no one else does. In a year where it feels like perhaps we're getting passed over for scholarships or concerned about what college is going to look like because school hasn't looked right this year either, or in a year where we feel like we've been passed over for promotions and got job cuts and hours cut instead, or in a time where it feels like we have just been forgotten and left at home and we're still working there after all of these months and nobody seems to see or care about the countless hours that have been put in for the job, or you feel like you've just been swallowed up by the needs of everyone else in the house. And I just feel like somebody needed to know that this morning, that God still knows where you are and he sees you and he knows what his plans and his purposes for you are. And in somebody else's recording of what happened this year, they might say, oh, it was in Tulsa, it's a town in Oklahoma, it was in this neighborhood, it was in this moment. But I just want to remind you that God has not forgotten, and he sees the remote place where you are at, and he says, I see you, and I have chosen you, and I still have a plan, and I still have a purpose for you, even in this moment, even when you are greatly troubled. And the Holy Spirit comes to remind us, I am with you even in this moment, even in an isolated place. And like Mary, we may have our own fearful questions. How will this work? And what about? And what if? And on the questions come, and the answer to us will still be the same, because you won't face any of it alone. You've not been alone, and you won't face the days ahead alone either. Don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit is also with you and is making a way for you. Don't be afraid, because what you see as impossible, the Holy Spirit gives power to make it possible. And the problem that you see might just become the gateway to new and greater opportunities when the Holy Spirit is the one overshadowing the endeavor. The Holy Spirit wants to come and to calm our anxious thoughts this morning and remind us again that the God of the universe sees us right where we are, and he is orchestrating his plans and his purposes. So don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And Mary, in that moment, greatly concerned with a lot of questions, begins to catch a revelation of what it is that is about to take place, that everything is about to change because a king is coming. For he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. The Holy Spirit was going to be with Mary, and there was a king coming soon, so don't be afraid. Well, next we see Joseph, and what we hear from him is, don't be afraid, because the word of God is true. Now, Zechariah and Mary were both visited by the angel Gabriel, who answered their questions and gave explanations about what would take place. And Joseph, however, heard the news in a less dramatic fashion, which oddly enough made it less believable. Crazy, right? An angel comes, this feels right. No one comes, and we're just told the information, absolutely not, this is not happening. And for Joseph, there's no one to ask how or why or for more details, and certainly no one he can turn to for advice, because who's going to believe this? He's not even sure he believes this. And he doesn't want to exactly get the word out to more people. He doesn't need anybody else knowing about his personal life. And so he's left of his own accord then, just on his own. He's trying to figure all of this out, and there's fear fears about his reputation and Mary's. There's fears about their future, worries about what others might say. And it was obvious to Joseph that a decision needed to be made, and rather quickly, because time was of the essence. And where he landed was to just quietly divorce Mary, to just end the engagement, to put the whole strange thing behind him. And probably for Joseph, well, it feels like me. It just feels good to make a decision. It can be the right decision, it can be the wrong decision. It doesn't matter. At least you made the decision. I made a decision. Let's just roll with it. And it feels good to have just decided something. And so Joseph just decided something, and he lays down to go to sleep, and that's when everything changed. And maybe fear this year has had you quietly retreating too, thinking maybe I'll just back out or back away from the dreams and the plans and the things that I thought the Lord had put in my heart to do, because it's just too much and it doesn't make sense anymore. And so maybe I misheard and maybe I misunderstood what the Lord had asked of me. It seemed clear that Joseph was led to Mary. This is going to be the plan. All the arrangements have been made. Maybe I misunderstood. This doesn't make any sense anymore. I'm just going to retreat. And it can start to feel that way when fears bubble up. Maybe I just need to take a step back. And perhaps you also need a visitation from the Lord. The angel came to Joseph in that moment, just as he had made a decision. I'm just going to take a step back from this. This just feels a little too much and maybe not the right time. And the angel of the Lord appeared in that moment and spoke his name, Joseph, son of David. Daniel Darling, a pastor and teacher in a little book I've been reading, said, God didn't pick just any first century Jewish man to steward the life of his son, but he picked a faithful son of David. For the only other person in the New Testament to be referred to as a son of David is Jesus. This title came with authority, reminding Joseph of his royal lineage and preparing him for the task ahead. Joseph had been chosen for a reason, and the angel came to remind him of that. He reminded Joseph who he was, that he was a son of the king David, a descendant of royalty, part of the covenant of enduring love that had been established long ago, because Joseph needed that reminder of who he was, that he was a son of the king as he prepared to face the shame and the whispers that would certainly come from those in their circle. And he would not find his identity, you see, in how the world would come to define him, but he would always find his identity in how God spoke of him, son of David, one who has authority, one who would be used mightily in the plan of God to see the one he would name Jesus take his place as the King of all kings. And next, the angel comes to Joseph to remind him of the promises of God to his people. The virgin would be with child, would give birth to a son, and guess what? Mary is that virgin. You'll name him Jesus because guess what? He is the long-awaited Savior, and he'll be known as Emmanuel because guess what? He really is going to be God with us, the one who will dwell with us and walk with us. Guess what? He really is the long-awaited, prayed-for, hoped-for Savior, and he really is the one who will be known as Emmanuel, like the prophet foretold. It's all true, Joseph. Everything that has been said, everything that has been recorded, everything that you know, it's all true. And the angel comes to remind Joseph of who he is and of where he can find those promises in the Word of God. Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary home as your wife. Don't be afraid to take part in what the Holy Spirit is orchestrating. Don't be afraid to move forward in what God has called and commanded you to do, even if you are fearful. Don't be afraid of what people will say, Joseph, but listen to God's word. Don't be afraid because God's word can be believed even in times of fear. Look to God's word. Believe what it says. Don't be afraid because what has been promised will come to pass in your life and the life of the son that Mary is carrying. Don't be afraid because God is with you. And in the midst of our fears and anxious thoughts, if we listen, I think the message comes to us as well. Don't be afraid, because your identity and your worth come from knowing Jesus and being reminded that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. Don't be afraid to back away and or don't back away or put away what God has been leading you to do because of fear, but trust his word and what it says. Trust what he's been saying listening to your heart. Trust him and obey. You see, everybody has an opinion right now, but the opinion that matters is what God's word says. God's word matters, and it is true. Don't be afraid that what you've heard or read from the scripture is just some sort of fairy tale that's never going to happen. Don't be afraid, because God's word is actually living and active and will come to pass. Don't be afraid to trust in his word, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Don't be afraid, because God knows who you are, and he has a plan for you and is with you both now and forever. And in that dream, as Joseph is contemplating his future and wondering how it's all going to take place and feeling fearful and anxious, he is given a revelation of Jesus as Savior and as Emmanuel. And he begins to understand that the one who had been promised is so much more than he had ever dared to hope. Don't be afraid today, for God's word is true and God is with you. And lastly, we look at the shepherds. And what we hear from them is, don't be afraid, because there is still good news of great joy. Once again, we find ordinary people doing ordinary things whose lives are about to be changed by an extraordinary encounter. Once more, just as with all the other Christmas characters in the Christmas story, the angel of the Lord appears, the glory of the Lord shines on them, and the shepherds are terrified, because getting a glimpse of ourselves in the light of God's presence has a way of terrifying most people. It did for the prophet Isaiah, who stood in the throne room of God and began to cry out, "I'm unclean, I'm ruined," because he realized how holy God is and how unholy that he was. And the glory of God is shining on these shepherds, and they are so afraid, until the angel gives the heartwarming message once again, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." The angel said, "Don't be afraid, shepherds. I know it feels as if no one can stand in God's presence, for they're too unholy and they are unclean. No one has been able to look at his face and live. But today everything changes, because God has become flesh so that you can gain access to his abiding presence. And today, for the first time, you can gaze at him lying in a manger and become more alive than you've ever been before. Don't be afraid, because your sins can be forgiven once and for all, and you'll soon be able to approach the throne of grace boldly and without fear. Don't be afraid, for this Savior is for you and all the people who were just ordinary, regular folk. Don't be afraid, because there is good news, and the good news is that Jesus has arrived and has come to save all the people. All means all. And Jesus comes to bring joy to us, including even the ones with fearful hearts. And if you listen closely, I think you'll hear that same proclamation being shouted in your ear. Don't be afraid, because Jesus is here, and he's here for you, and he's made a way for you to access the Father. Don't be afraid to stand in his presence, because Jesus has made a way. Don't be afraid today, for there is still reason to rejoice and to be glad, even in the midst of a difficult year, in the midst of heartache, or in the midst of pain, even in fearful moments. The Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord, and that is reason to rejoice. Don't be afraid today, because Jesus is still showing up in the least likely places and sending out messengers announcing good news. Good news. The shepherds, though terrified in that moment, got a glimpse, the first glimpse of God's Son in the flesh. The Messiah, the Anointed One, was here, and Jesus would change everything. Don't be afraid, for there is still good news of great joy. And this year, like most year, there have been highs and lows. And we've certainly met our share of new and unprecedented things this year. And I think for a lot of us, we're ready for this year to be done. But even today, there's still good news. Don't be afraid today, because God hears your prayers. You're not alone today, because the Holy Spirit is with you, and God's word is true. And the best news that sparks joy for all time is that Jesus is here. And we need to be reminded of that today, to not be afraid, But let me also remind us today that it was while gripped with fear, troubled, anxious, and terrified that these characters had some of their most incredible experiences with the Lord and gained a greater revelation of who he was and who he desired to be in their lives. And so can I encourage you to let the fears of 2020 propel you into a greater reliance on the Lord, a greater dependency on his presence, a greater awareness of his power, a greater understanding of your own identity in Christ and his purpose for you. Let the fears propel you into a greater revelation of him as Savior and Lord, healer and deliverer, a greater realization that he is the soon coming King, a greater knowledge of his word, a greater hunger for his voice, and a greater desire to see the good news of Jesus preached in the whole world. And here's the very last thing I want you to see. As each of these characters heard the message the angels brought, they made a decision to obey. Not once the fear was gone, but in their fear, they chose surrender to the Lord and obedience to him in all things. Zechariah doubted at first, and he spent 9 months in silence, but then he surrendered his own dreams for his life and the life of his son, and he declared with complete obedience, "His name is John," as the angel said. And Mary, though troubled and concerned and fearful of what this would mean for her future, boldly and obediently declared, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Joseph, anxious though he might have been, woke from his encounter with the angel and with great obedience to the Lord whom he served, did what was commanded. And the shepherds, after hearing a chorus of angels singing praise to God, immediately said to one another, "Let's go." Today, don't let the fears of 2020 keep you from hearing the Lord speak to your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let those fears keep you from experiencing God in a new and fresh way or from acting in obedience to what he is asking of you. Because the good news of Advent is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to obey and say yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to step out in faith and do what God is asking you to do, because God hears you, because he is with you through his Holy Spirit, because his word to you is true, and because there is reason to rejoice. Will you stand with me and bow your heads? Father, I thank you that we can trust you today. Thank you, Lord, that there is still good news today and that there is no reason to fear today. I thank you, Lord, and I pray, God, for those that have felt like you were speaking to their heart but then have begun to doubt as they've seen so many things change over the course of this year. And we've begun to worry or to doubt in ourselves, could it really have been the Lord who said, "Do this"? Could it really have been God who told me to take this step or to change direction or that led me to this new adventure? Could it really have been the Lord? And I just pray today for anyone who has begun to doubt in these moments. I pray, Lord, that just that peace would be there, but God, that obedience, Lord, and surrender would spring up in their lives to continue to do what you're calling them to do, to go ahead and to trust and to step forward and to continue to move in the plans and purposes that you have, that you are indeed orchestrating what you've spoken to their hearts, that what you spoke is going to come to pass, and that you are the one that is leading them and guiding them through the Holy Spirit today. And so, God, I just pray that it would be a confirmation to someone's heart today that it is you that is speaking that God's word can be trusted, that God's word is true, that the Holy Spirit is making a way for them and going before them, that they can not be afraid this morning because they know that their prayers have been heard by you. They know that they don't have to be afraid today because there are still good news and still good plans and still good purposes for them. So I pray, Lord, that you would bring such comfort to our hearts today to step forward and to act in obedience, to not be afraid, but to trust in you, Lord. And we'll say yes, Lord. We'll surrender and say yes to whatever you have for us. Oh, how we love you and how we praise you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to be afraid. We bless your name, Lord. Amen. And amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here today. Don't be afraid. There's reason to rejoice today. The Savior has been born. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday in person or online or again next Sunday. Be blessed today.